Well, good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ and friends. Our third portion reading for this day, 1 Thessalonians 5, is really a good exhortation in itself. It's really one of those chapters that we can take and read it, and we should be able to be exhorted in some way in our walk before God. So we'll endeavor this morning to take a few points from the chapter and consider the exhortation that Paul is giving and apply it unto ourselves. We'll just read the first four verses again. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So concerning the first verses, we could add that we in this day have seen signs of the times, and no prophecies have been fulfilled concerning Israel that point to the season being at hand. I'd like to spend a bit of time on verse 2, and specifically that word perfectly. Other translations say fully aware or thoroughly. And the question really is, do we know perfectly? Strong's Concordance gives a definition exactly to the word, and it's only used five times in Scripture. And we'll look at those and hopefully gain a better understanding of the word and what it implies. First use is in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 8, and it's when Herod is giving a command to those wise men. Matthew 2 and verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. So the word here in this verse is diligently. And we know Herod really had an ulterior motive for making this command to these wise men. That's not the point this morning, but the word here, diligently, is the same as perfectly in Thessalonians. Notice how it's used. It describes the searching and that there is no room for failure. He says, search diligently or perfectly, and when ye have found. So the only option was a complete dedication to the mission at hand. And we could apply this same way of thinking to 1 Thessalonians 5. Know perfectly. Complete dedication to the task at hand. The next one is in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So here we have perfect. Perfect is the word we're looking at. Perfect understanding. And who amongst ourselves could say that they have had perfect understanding in all things? But again, notice how the word is used. It describes the understanding as being exact. Definitely something to strive for. The next one in Acts 18 and verse 25 may seem contradictory at first to what we've considered so far. But let's read Acts 18 and starting at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So the word again here is diligently in verse 25. And he taught diligently the things of the Lord. So we see that the word describes the teaching and not the state of the man, for he had yet things to learn. He was only acquainted with the baptism of John. And then in verse 26, he's taken aside by this brother and sister in Christ and taught more perfectly. And this more perfectly is a related word. It's not the same word. But it is, it basically means what it says, more perfectly. And it is related. So if we look at the result of, in verse 28, when Apollos has that diligence or exactness in teaching, that word we're looking at, and the more perfect knowledge of the way of God, the two put together cause him to be an even better proclaimer and convincer of the word. The last one in Ephesians 5, verse 15, and we'll read verse 8 to 17 for context. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So the word here in Ephesians 5 is circumspectly, but we could substitute exactly or perfectly. Other versions have carefully. The word here is used to describe the walk, the way in which we should walk. It's a walk that should be careful, and it's required of us. We must walk knowing that Christ will return. Everything we do should reflect our belief that Christ is coming back to judge the living and the dead. So these were the four uses of the word. The fifth, of course, in our reading, 1 Thessalonians 5. And the five uses of the word in Scripture, it's used to describe a mission, an understanding, a knowledge, a teaching, and a walk. Interesting, I thought, that it's used in these various ways when we consider the aspects of our calling. Our last example in Ephesians has brought us to the theme of light and darkness which is where our reading in Thessalonians 5 continues on to as well. So we'll just pop back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. And this verse 4 gives some explanation to verse 2 and 3. For we know that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, but only to those of verse 3, who are those in darkness and those who sleep. The metaphors and contrasts of light and dark, watching and sleeping, sober and drunken, are telling us what group we should be in. Are we in the light group or the dark group? Watching or sleeping? Sober or drunken? Just as light illuminates while darkness obscures, we have the words of truth that illuminate and help us to see spiritually. This we should know perfectly from verse 2, and therefore not bring darkness voluntarily into our lives to obscure that which we know to be true. So these comparisons are in verses 5 to 7. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. We can take these comparisons as literal, but the spiritual must come as well. For Jesus was the light of the world, as he said of himself in John 8. And he continues on to say, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Paul in Romans speaks of day and night in a spiritual sense and encourages us to be active. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof. And Peter, in his first epistle, speaks of being spiritually sober. In 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. After he's been speaking of salvation and the gospel in the previous verses. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So being of light of the day, watching and sober, speaks to us of being active in the truth, laboring with one another, waiting and watching patiently for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and doing these things with a sound mind, moderately, meaning more than simply not being drunken. Sober is translated watch in two places. One is 2 Timothy 4:5, which says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Back in Thessalonians then, in verse 8, continues with these principles and adds those elements of spiritual armor that are expanded out back in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, speaking of that spiritual armor, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So once we have been furnished with these spiritual tools, we have a better ability to resist evil and do the good of those verses 12 to 22 of Thessalonians 5. And of course, in this chapter 5, which we've said before is really an exhortation in itself, we have Christ in verse 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Bound up in these verses is his life, death, and resurrection, and the hope we have to share in that eternal life that he now has as the first fruits of them that slept. He is our ultimate example in all manner of how we should live these lives before God and the one who we remember this morning. He knew for a certainty that he would die, and he also knew that his Father in heaven would raise him up. He says to his disciples in Matthew 20, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify, and the third day he shall rise again. Thinking back then on Thessalonians 5, do we know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh? And to those in darkness it comes as a thief in the night. Are we in the camp of the children of the light? Do we have that spiritual armor on, and those tools both to withstand evil and do those good works? Are we fully convinced that Jesus Christ will return to this earth? Verse 23, what we hope and wait for. And verse 24, the comfort and assurance. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do.